Let's go to Psalm 93, and I want to read Psalm 93 to you there. The Lord reigns. Hallelujah. Will you say that with me this morning? The Lord reigns. Who reigns? Does the devil reign?
No.
The Lord reigns. Do circumstances reign? The Lord reigns. Situations reign? No, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier. Praise God. Yeah, let that one just sink in this morning in some of the circumstances that are raging right now. The Lord on high is mightier. He's mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. I love the Psalms. Anyone else love the Psalms? You know, I try and make sure that I'm in the book of Psalms every day and just digest, you know, a Psalm every day. And it's just good to remind yourself that, you know, when you open up the Psalms, it's good to remind yourself, you know, what these were written for, you know, and because we've got these tremendous songs in Psalms written for our worship. We've got things written as prayers. We've got poetry in there. And so as I'm reading some of these Psalms, I'm reading the words to songs that they would have sung in those days. You know, anthems then of what we would now call the church, of course. When we read Psalm 93, it's kind of really interesting because this was a worship song that was written for quite an uneasy period for the nation there. It was quite an uneasy period for Israel, for the people. And they'd been through decades of captivity, and it's believed to have been written at a time, many believe, commentators and that, it was written at a time when they were facing the risk of possible invasion again. So they'd known what it was to live through a period of captivity. They were now facing the uncertainty of that time for them. And so as you're trying to immerse yourself into the moment, you kind of have to think to yourself, wow, what I'm reading here, it would have been a really emotive time for the people. Feelings, how would you have felt, you know, if you'd have lived through decades of captivity, you're now facing kind of the risk of possibly that happening again. I think feelings would have been raging, minds would have been wondering, and it was a really emotive, uncertain, kind of uneasy period for them. And so as you read this, it's written to a people or for a people who we can probably surmise were maybe physically or mentally struggling. They were in a battle there in those ways in their life, discouraged, maybe confused, maybe there's some disappointments and frustration. There's kind of this lack of peace. Their peace is kind of, you know, being robbed. And this song was written as a song for them to sing when they gathered in the temple. It was a song that when they come together for a service, what we might call now, of course, like our Sunday morning church, it would be like Andy writing you a song and saying, here's a song for you to sing in the midst of what's going on. When you gather together on a Sunday morning, here's what you need to sing in the midst of what's happening. I believe that Psalm 93 teaches us something, friends, that's really powerful and profoundly true. I believe it teaches us that there are songs in seasons of our life that we need to sing. There are songs in seasons of our life that we need to sing. Not just any old song, but there are songs that we need to sing all the time, yes, and particularly, of course, in these seasons in our life that I've alluded to. We need to sing the songs that are full of the truth of who God is. Who he is. The most powerful worship you will ever be a part of is the stuff that is focused on Jesus Christ. As you sing the powerful truths of who your God is. You know, sometimes in those moments in our life, And we would have all lived through those moments, and I don't mean to be a prophet of doom, but no doubt at some point in our life we will go through those moments again. There can be a temptation to sing songs that sing to your feelings. Songs that reflect how I feel in this moment. But what I find interesting is that in that time, the psalmist never said, here's a song that sings to how you're feeling right now. He said, here's a song that sings the truth of who God is right now. Who he is in the midst of what's going on. See, friends, at the center of our faith, at the heart of our gatherings, as the central theme of our song, is verse 1. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. When it's all going mental, when it's tough, when it's difficult, when you're fighting, when you're struggling, when you're missing peace, when you're feeling discouraged, when you're confused, when you're disappointed, when you're frustrated, when you're physically down, when you're mentally feeling down, the most important song that you need to sing loud is this one. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Matthew Henry said, next to the being of God, there is nothing that we are more concerned to believe and consider than God's dominion, that Jehovah is God and that this God reigns. Wow. Next to the fact that I believe God is real, the most important thing I need to be focused on and believing and considering is that Jehovah is God and my God reigns. See, here's the issue for me, and I've been through this a little bit in just kind of recent weeks, and you may not be the same as me, I appreciate that, but there may be some people who can empathize with this. At times in my life, I struggle with perspective. I struggle with getting things into perspective. Now, perspective is simply defined as this, a way of regarding situations. So sometimes we find ourselves immersed in a situation, and sometimes if I'm not careful, my head and my heart begin to run away and I begin to lose a sense of perspective. You know, so I come in the other week from a tough day at work, and you do have them, you know, working for the church. And I come home from a tough day from work, and just some stuff had happened, and I walked in a bad mood, and there was a bit of mess that the kids had left lying around, and it was one of them, I'm going to kind of, you know, and you haven't done this, and you haven't done that, and, you know, and I'm clonk, clonk, and I'm putting stuff away, and I'm doing all that kind of stuff. Before you know it, then I'm kind of looking at the walls and seeing where I need to repaint and redecorate, and I've gone from as tidy to now my house is so unscruffy, so now I walk out into the garden, all that brick's coming loose, my house is falling down, and, you know, and my perspective, does anyone else ever get like this? Good, I'm glad it's not just me. You know, we've had some fun and games like others have in church lately with our cars getting wrong. You know, cars are going wrong. And rather than just like, well, how much is it going to cost to bill? I'm like, Claire, should we borrow 10 grand and go out and buy a new one? She's like, no. There's a loss of perspective. Just kind of hang in. I have to be honest in my heart, and I think people resonate with it, certainly by what was coming out. There are situations in my life where things begin to snowball. There are things where issues seem to become much bigger. They pick up pace. There are times in my life where I think rashly and impulsively. There are times when I think wrongly. And you're thinking, why the heck is this guy our pastor? You know, but I'm just being honest and being real. And it's so easy, friends, what I want to see is to begin to move into a realm where our feelings begin to dominate. And the trouble is, it's not an overly healthy place to be. Because actually, if I'm being really honest, the way I feel doesn't always match what this book says. But this is the truth. And the Bible says it's the truth that shall set you free. And so sometimes, actually, there are times when my feelings are almost in opposition to what this is saying, the truth of who God is and how I feel. And the trouble is that when my feelings dominate or they actually rule my responses, I'm grumpy. Now the house is falling down. We've got to move out. You know, it's an exaggerated example, but there are just different things in our life. I make light of that one, but You know, a big thing, come on, let's be honest. A big thing I struggled with massively, I love my mum to bits, but I've told you before, you know, whenever someone got sick, it was always the immediate fear was, it's something bigger. You know, so as a guy, I've struggled with migraines through my life. I went for a season about a week ago, like 4 or 5 migraines day after day, and I got these tablets like knocked me out. I think they could kill an elephant. You know, like I'm probably about as big as one, and I kind of, you know, you just kind of knock you out, and you begin to, oh, that's 4 or 5 in a row all my life, and I can hear things from my child, a brain tumor. Serious. You begin to, you know. I just want to read a little thing to you today. Carl Lentz wrote a piece called In My Feelings. He's the pastor of one of the pastors of Hillsong Church. Written when his son, young son, come to him and said, Dad, I don't feel like going to church. Anyone ever said that? You're not a very honest bunch, are you? Obviously not when I'm preaching, but you know. Here we go. Feelings are great. They are important, but they are not the dominant factor in how we live our lives. If our feelings match our convictions, fantastic. I've just found that it's often that this is the exception, not the norm. In fact, most of the incredible things God calls us to do not come with an accompanying good vibe. Loving your enemy does not always feel good. Sacrificial giving does not always feel good. Forgiving people who hurt you almost never feels right. Going to church doesn't always feel good, but these things are still right. When that day comes, when your feelings rage against your conviction, remember how blessed we are to control our feelings rather than being controlled by them. It's worth it every time. In my convictions is where I want to stay. In my convictions is where I want to stay. In my convictions. And so for Israel at this time, it's like things are getting out of perspective a little, I guess. It's like it's a little out of control. So the psalmist says, no, sing the song of truth. Remind yourself of the truth. And the number one truth is this, your God reigns. The Lord reigns. And every time they sang this song, they're reminding themselves of their convictions, of their truth. And there are times and seasons in our lives when we need to simply remind ourselves, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. In every situation, challenge, battle, circumstance, good times, bad times, up the mountain, down in the valley, I need to sing the song of truth. Because the song of truth is what brings things back into perspective. Getting my eyes on Jesus and singing out who he is puts things back into perspective. Just a couple of weeks ago, I'd lost my perspective. But as I drilled back down into my relationship with God and the truth of who he is, my perspective came back in line again. Spurgeon says, let us repeat the proclamation, the Lord reigns, whispering it in the ears of the desponding and publishing it in the face of the foe. The good news, the Lord reigns. And the Hebrew for reigns there, it's a verb that means to rule as king. Do you know this morning, Jesus is king. Amen. Hallelujah. When things get a little all over the place, I need to remind myself, Jesus is king. Not this situation, not what's going on. Jesus is king. The Lord reigns. And as we gather, we need to sing out the truth that he is king. We were singing it in the first service this morning. Did anyone else begin to feel the temperature rise in the room as you focus on who he is and proclaim that he is king? We proclaim it as we worship. I'll say more about that in a moment. But as we gather and sing it out, it's the song of the church. The song, it's the proclamation of heaven. Revelation 19, verse 6. Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. So I sing out my convictions, from my convictions, not just from my feelings. It's not always easy, but it's right. Andrew Murray, not the tennis player, not the old Christian, the one who's visited us before, wrote a brilliant piece just recently on worship, and he said this. He said, sing more vertical songs. Less songs about me, Less songs about what God has done for me and more songs about who he is. You know, I love the song of Moses and Miriam as they kind of led the Israelites in Exodus 15. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Come on, should we say that together this morning while I have a drink? Come on. Okay, on the count of three then. One, two, three. Go on. Hallelujah. So I want to ask the question to us today, and I just got five quick points, and I want us just to come back and worship. I want to ask the question, who is this king? We said he's Lord. But what else do we know about this king? Because your view of God is crucial to how you do life in so many ways. Your view of God is crucial to how you do life, handle life. It is crucial to your perspective. Number one, I want to say to us this morning, he is the majestic king. It says there in verse 1 of Psalm 93, the Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. You know, majesty is an interesting word. It's not the easiest word to actually define, but the essence of what it means is simply this. It has to do with dignity and authority and rule and power and greatness and awe. See, normal kings or queens, they're handed the emblems of majesty. You know, you might be robed in the gown that says you're the king or you're the queen of England for whatever. It's an emblem of majesty. But Jesus, it says here, is clothed himself with majesty. He's not just got an emblem of it. He himself is actually clothed with dignity and authority and rule and power and greatness and awe. See, friends, if he is king, we need to praise him and we need to serve him and we need to live for him like he's king. You know, when we come to like worship God, I was just thinking, God, how much do we think about this as we come to worship? But actually, I'm welcomed into the courts of the king. You know, I'm not just kind of rocking up on it kind of casually. You know, if the queen invited you, you know, you just wouldn't rock up kind of casually or indifferently. And if they said, you know, please stand, you wouldn't sit down. And if the queen was speaking, we wouldn't sort of just switch off and, you know, chew gum in the corner or something. You know, it's that whole response of my response is befitting to the royalty that's before me. And here we're talking about earthly kings, but in Jesus, the King of Kings. And so as I live my life, I have to say, is this befitting of how I need to live before a king? As I come to church, is my response befitting, worthy of the King of Kings and my worship? Because I'm not just standing and worshiping anybody today. I'm worshiping Jesus, who is king. And so I'm conscious of the fact that I'm not just in a building in King's Lynn. I'm in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so my heart needs to respond to the understanding there's no one like you, God. And I want to worship you because you're king. He's a majestic king robed in authority and rule and power and greatness. And as a king, he deserves our worship. You know, we're often praising God for what he's done, but never lose the focus of praising him for who he is. Thank him absolutely for all he's done, but thank him and worship him and love him and adore him for who he is. The King of Kings. He reigns. Worship his majesty. You know, I was thinking about the song, you know, the old song, you know, majesty, worship his majesty, unto Jesus be glory and honor and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority flows from his throne unto his own, his anthem raised. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So he's the majestic king. Secondly, he's the powerful king. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. He's not just clothed with majesty. He is clothed in strength or in power. Spurgeon said he's a king in the court and a general in the camp. He's clothed with both majesty and he is clothed with strength and power. He has girded himself with this strength. He's not borrowed it. It's not been lent to him. It's not limited like other earthly kings. We worship the very one who is him very self, strong and powerful. I stand before the one who himself is strength and power. How we need to remind ourselves in these seasons of life that we can go through. I need to proclaim that simple truth that keeps things in perspective, that simple but powerful truth that God is strong. I need to sing that over my situations, remind myself who has the ultimate power in this situation. Otherwise, I always begin to find I live in a place of uncertainty. Surely it says the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Maybe we just sometimes just need to pause when we gather and we come together and say, wow, I'm not just worshiping, you know, anybody. I'm worshiping the king. But, you know, this king, I'm worshiping the very one who created, sustains the world in which I live. The air that I breathe. Colossians says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, just to fall into fighting battles and frustrations and difficulties in your own strength. So easy just to begin to slip into that place where you're just, you know, heads down and bottoms up, as they say, and you're just kind of plugging away. But through those half times, just trying to get through, just hanging in there. But I love this image of, it says the Lord has girded himself. We don't sort of go around, you know, many times when I want to, you know, get out with Claire, we need to leave for, you know, somewhere. I'm not saying, so have you girded yourself with your clothes, my darling, you know? It's not a common word we use, but what it is actually saying is it's a picture of readiness. You know, to gird up, it's to be ready. The beautiful thing is this. It's like the psalmist is saying to him in the song, you need to understand this. Don't fight this in your own battle. Jesus, your king, is ready to intervene. You know, don't try and do that yourself. He's girded himself up with strength and the power. Then he's good to go. He's ready to go. Bring him into the midst of what's going on. Because all the strength and the power of the king is available. He's the majestic king. He's the powerful king. He's the eternal king. Verse 2, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Hebrews 1:8 about the Son says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. I love the image that Jesus possesses a position and a title established from of old. Since the beginning of time, his throne is established. How this helps bring things into perspective in our life, because his throne is established. And that word established simply means this. It is fixed and stable and secure and enduring. Before creation, his throne and his position as king was fixed. It stabilized. It was secured and it endures. That's why the Bible says, as I've said many times this morning, he is the King of Kings. He's the number one king. He is the greatest king. Friends, there's not a principality or power or king or ruler who can take his throne. There's not one who can take his place. There's not one who can unsettle him. There's not one who can take that title from him. He was and he is and he always will be the greatest king. But sometimes we live in seasons of our life, And I admit to having been there myself, where we feel like there's just stuff going on. It's like it feels like it's getting the upper hand. Anyone ever been there? You know, people are telling you Jesus is king, but, and you know, it feels like this stuff's getting overwhelming. This stuff's getting on top of me. It feels like, you know, the enemy's just having his way and this kind of, it's all a bit much. You know, I wrote this line as I prepared this, and I just want to read it word for word to you. The kingdom of God is not shaken, even if sometimes we feel like we are. The kingdom of God is not shaking, even if sometimes we feel like we are. In the face of stuff, we shake, oh my God, that diagnosis or whatever. God is not sitting nervously on his throne, feeling threatened or intimidated. He knows his plans. He knows his purposes. We don't always understand it. We don't always get it. We don't always sometimes like it. We find it hard to process. One day it will all make sense, but it's important to know that in life, in those seasons where things feel a little shaky, my knees might knock a bit, but Jesus's never do. His throne is secure. It's established. It's stable since the beginning of time, and it will always be everlasting, eternal. It helps me breathe things into perspective that no matter what's going on, my convictions give me confidence. You're still Lord. You're still on your throne and you reign. God, I might not get it, but you reign. You know, that appointment comes through, you go to it, oh God. God's not sitting there going, oh, he's king. He's king in that circumstance. He's king in that situation. Number four, last 2 points. He's the triumphant king. Verse 3 says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. There are times in our life when it's like floods that rise. You know, I bike to work whenever I can. And as you bike to work and you come over the ewes and you see the waters that rise, you know that when we went through that season not so long ago where it was like the fear of flood, wasn't it? And you know, it's coming over. It creates that uncertainty. It creates that fear, that unease, that anxiety. It takes people's peace away. It causes people to do things they wouldn't normally do. It dominates their thinking. And there are times in life like that. There are times in life there, it says, like the noise of many waters. You know, I think about Sheringham Beach on the days when I've been down there and it's a bit grim and it's a bit windy and the sea and the waves are just smashing off the big rocks. And you hear that noise or you stand by some great waterfall, that the noise of many waters, and you just hear power, don't you? You just hear power and you see the power and you almost feel the power of the waves as they break off the boulders, and it's just like your respect for the sea is just like, whoa, that's awesome. It's an awesome and raw power. You're not saying to your kids, it's a beautiful day, get in there and swim. You know, it's beautiful. That kind of raw power kind of leaves you in awe. And the Bible's saying God is even greater than that. But the point is, why is it saying this? It's saying this because, well, let me just tell you, when we were on holiday in Cornwall, and we were bodyboarding a lot. We just loved bodyboarding. The kids were always excited to bodyboard. And towards the back end of the week, it was when the wind was whipping up and the rain was coming a bit. And we'd had some lovely days. And we went down, we're catching some nice waves, having a blast. And then the wind weather changed a bit. And we went down one day, so it was a bit more like windy, but we're true Brits and we're like, we're going anyway, you know. And so like you kind of go down there and even as you're carrying your bodyboard, it's one of those ones where the wind's like pushing you as you're trying to carry. But we are going bodyboarding. And the sea had just changed. And instead of like wave, wait, wave, it was like wave, 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 wave. That's all right, we're going in. I got in with my children, you know, this is awesome, you know, hey, it's fun, isn't it, kind of thing. And one just hit Beth, and woof, she sort of disappears and then comes up having had a lovely drink of salt water. You know, that look of beauty upon her face as she's getting rid of all that kind of salt water and everything like that. And all of a sudden in that moment, it like you're just that respect again for like, whoa, the power of the sea. And you know, and I'm standing there like, and I'm trying to find different ways to like, beat the wave. Maybe you'd sort of jump at it that way to beat the wave. Maybe I'd go at it with my board. That was wrong. It nearly ripped my arms off because like I hit into it and it swept my arms around like that. And I learned something really profound. If you take nothing else away, it's this, right? You can't stop a wave. All right, boom. Powerful theology right there for you, all right, as you take home. You stand in the ocean, you try. It's the whole imagery here is tapping into times when you feel like that. I can't stop this. I feel threatened, I feel afraid, I feel overwhelmed by what's coming at me right now. It's like a wave in Cornwall on that day that you're talking about. It's taking me off, I think it's going to take me off my feet. It feels kind of a powerful time, all the emotions. But friends, the whole song is bringing us back to a place of perspective. No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we feel, don't lose perspective in their moments. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, never forget your God is greater. He is mightier. No matter how powerful that situation looks, he is king. He is mightier. Proclaim that. Proclaim that as the floodwaters are rising and the waves are crashing around you in life. Let that echo out, you're saying, in the temple. Our God is greater. Greater. Do we have big problems, little God? Little problems, big God. Psalm 93, it says, has a ring of proclamation. Anyone else like me, and I'm virtually done. Anyone else like me ever stand in church and you're singing and then you just have that moment where you just think, I'm just singing. I'm just singing. I'm not really connecting to what I'm saying. I'm not really taking this in. I'm not really in this right now. I am having a good old sing song. And I've kind of lost the connection with what we sing. And I just came back to that song, you know, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. And I come back to that song, and I think to myself, God, I've sung that so many times in church. But now, God, in the light of Psalm 93, hang on, I'm not just singing a song. I'm making a proclamation. My God is greater. My God is stronger. See, there are songs that you sing. You don't just sing, I have a sing song. Daryl says, I'm in trouble, I have a sing song. Have a sing, but you are singing a proclamation of the truth of who God is in the midst of what's going on. And suddenly things are coming into perspective. And you say, man, it looks overwhelming, but you know what? God is mightier than the waves. My God is greater. I'm not going under. Lastly, Andy, can you just come back, please? Amanda in the band, sorry. That would be great. You know, just before my last point, I just want to say, you know, if Jesus, as I read my word, you know, friends, if Jesus can calm the wind and the waves and the sea, as you worship him, he can surely calm your heart and mind. He can surely calm your heart and mind in his presence. Lastly, I just want to say to you today as I finish, he's the true and holy King. He reigns in majesty, he reigns in power, he reigns eternally, he reigns triumphantly, and lastly, he reigns in truth and in holiness. Verse 5, your testimonies, your decrees, some versions say, are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. I might not always understand what's going on. I might not always understand God's ways, but I can always rest in one thing. God is good. Amen. God is good. I remember when Graham and Georgie went through that with, you know, Georgie's sister and losing her in that moment. And I remember her telling me that's the one thing. There are a couple of things in there. And that was one of the things I'm holding on to in the midst of this. It hurts. It's raw. I don't get it. But I will hold on to the fact that God is good. He's good, friends, because he's a holy king. He's pure, he's light, he's life, he's truth. Whatever he says, whatever he does is right. Even if I don't always agree, it's right and it's good. And that is an unchanging truth that I need to sing in a changing world. I can always be certain of that. So in challenging times in life, we cannot let our feelings dominate and decide, because my feelings vary and change. My wife will vouch for that. In those times in life, I always find this, we will never be short of opinions about what we should do. People always say, I think you should do this, I think you should do that. The trouble is, opinions vary and change. But if I sing and proclaim the truths of this book, the Bible, his word, I am singing and standing on solid, unchanging truth that brings things into perspective. I am standing on reliable and sure promises. Someone once said, is all this so? Does Jehovah reign? Then let us offer the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. He is worthy to receive. And in our giving, there is also the receiving of the benefits of his reign, which enrich and glorify our lives. Shall we stand?